Well, several years ago, I was in a church service one Wednesday night. It was before a season was set to begin, the holy season of Lent. And we'd gathered in the sanctuary while it was dark outside. And after the sermon, the preacher asked us to come forward during this slow song, to come forward and prayerfully write something down on a piece of paper. She asked us to write down what we wanted out of this season. And I can tell you that even though I had been a Christian all my life, what I wanted most of all was Jesus. I wasn't sure who he was. You ever feel like it's possible to be a Christian and still not be entirely sure you know who Jesus is? That's how I feel sometimes. And so I took the little piece of paper and I wrote, "Jesus, I want to know you. Not know of you, not know about you. I want to know you." And in those days and weeks ahead, I discovered that verse from Philippians, the verse that Jack read for us just a moment ago. And it seemed to capture the cry of my heart. It said, "I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection." So I took a blue ink pen and I underlined it in my Bible. I want to know Christ. And I mean, it doesn't matter if you have been a Christian all your life or if you've drifted away or if you never really got it. I think any one of us can come to that place where we're just stripped down to this one desire. I want to know Christ. So that season, trying to get to know Jesus, I set about rereading the Gospels as though I had never read them before and talked to Jesus, even though I'd never done that before. And I kept taking that blue ink pen and underlining those places in the Bible that made my heart beat faster, as I'd done with that verse we just read. But here's the thing. Years later, when I went back to that Bible and I looked for all of the blue underlined parts, you know what I saw? I saw that I didn't underline the whole verse. Yes, there was a bold line under the part that says, "I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection." There was a bold line under the part that says, "If somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead." But you know what I skipped? You know what little 23-year-old Sarah didn't want to deal with? The middle part of that verse. The part that says, "And the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death." I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death. I'm not interested in that. I had said, "Jesus, I want to know you," not "Jesus, I want to share in your sufferings." But I guess those two things can't be separated. There's a divinity school professor, the Reverend Dr. Willie Jennings, who grew up with parents who had two great prayers for their son. One was that he would be a Christian, and they lived to see that prayer answered. And the other was that he would never find himself behind bars. As black parents of a black son, they were especially afraid for his safety. In a country with the highest incarceration rate of any other nation in the world, in a country that imprisons more of its racial minorities than any other nation in the world, they were scared. They prayed that their son would never see the inside of a jail. And unfortunately, that wish did not come true. A few years ago, things in the state government had started to trouble some Christians in the area, and they were considering what to do in response to the passage of some laws. So there was this growing group of people who would come to the Capitol every week and speak publicly. These Christians wanted to see laws that would protect the poor, knowing that Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor." They wanted people to have health care and have good, strong schools and have places to vote and have equal treatment. but a lot of them were getting arrested. At first, Dr. Jennings watched all this from afar. At the time, he was busy. He was writing a commentary on the book of Acts, a book that shows how Paul and his friends got into trouble for following Jesus. In fact, it's a book that shows how Paul and his friends went to jail for following Jesus, just like in Philippians. Well, as Dr. Jennings holed up in his office and read and studied and wrote, he started to see a connection between the Bible stories he was reading and the acts of faith happening in the Capitol. And he thought of how Paul and his friends spoke up on behalf of those whom Jesus loved and those whom the world forgot. And there, in the safety of his office, a thought came to him. I must get arrested. And this thought kept interrupting his work. He knew his brothers and sisters in Christ were speaking up on behalf of others whose voices might be silent. Could he really stay away much longer? Of course, joining the protests would put some things at risk: his career, his spotless criminal record, and maybe most importantly, his parents' dream for him. But still, he told his wife and daughters, I have to get arrested. I can't separate myself from this movement anymore. I feel God is calling me here. And he saw the anxiety and sadness in their eyes, and they each said they understood, but their eyes said, please, don't. But see, Dr. Jennings wanted to know Christ, not just write about him. He wanted to know Christ. And that meant knowing the suffering of others. That meant maybe suffering right alongside others. Because when Paul talks about knowing Christ, he says it's not the hearing of his sufferings, it's not the understanding of his sufferings, it's the sharing of his sufferings. That's how we know Christ. Dr. Jennings knew that time had come for him as a Christian. He knew that following Christ would mean seeing his face in the face of those who are in pain and not turning away, but sharing in that suffering. Well, the day finally came. This time it was a public demonstration led by clergy, preachers and priests and pastors all gathered there to witness to their faith in the Capitol. And Reverend Dr. Jennings was with them. They sang, they testified, they demanded justice for the poor in the name of Jesus. The security guard stepped forward and through a bullhorn told them, you're in violation of the law. If you do not disperse in 5 minutes, you will be arrested. They stayed. And some of them held hands. They sang, they testified. The man with the bullhorn returned. 2 minutes, he said. They prayed more, sang more. And then the police slowly moved in. Dr. Jennings says we could see the reluctance on their faces. They didn't want to arrest a bunch of clergy. But the arrests began, he said. One by one, they handcuffed us and led us away. We never stopped speaking, though. And even as they separated us, one by one, it was too late. We knew the truth. It was too late. They knew the truth. They were the body of Christ. They knew that they weren't alone. They were part of a sharing, and no arrest could take that away. And now in some small way, Dr. Jennings was joined with the suffering of the people he was advocating for. They were sharing together. And through that, he was coming to know Christ. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. I think this is a big part of what it means to be a Christian, to step into that broken place, even if it means you yourself start hurting That's what it means to be part of the sharing. Maybe it's spending a night in jail on behalf of those who are hurting, even if it's uncomfortable and a little scary. Maybe it's taking in a teen student from a broken home and letting them live with your family for a while, even though it's disruptive and hard. Maybe it's sleeping on the floor of a school during the Salkehatchee mission trip and then getting up each day to sweat through some home repairs, even though you're tired. Maybe it's joining us for the blood drive, even though you're terrified of needles. It could be a small step or a big step, but when we want to know Christ, he might lead us into the sharing of suffering of others. Until we're part of both, the resurrection and the suffering, the glory and the death, all the fullness of life, not one part left out. Sometimes it might ask of us things that'll get us into trouble, things that'll hurt. There are times when we have to choose the suffering. And then there are times when the suffering chooses us. If you've been with us the last couple weeks, you'll know that our church family has been dealing with a lot lately, a lot we wouldn't choose. Well, this past week, I went to visit one of our church members, John Riddle. He was in Quail Haven dealing with several health issues, and there's been plenty of that going on in our community. So I was there to bring communion to John, to his wife Lisa, and to her sister. He said, "I miss the church." So we brought a bit of the church to him. And I asked him, "Do you have any specific ways we can be praying for you?" And I expected him to ask that his cancer be defeated, or that the pain in his body would go away. I expected him to ask for patience, or maybe for Lisa to finally rest from all of this exhaustion. But what he said surprised me. "How can we pray for you specifically?" I asked, and he answered, "That I would grow closer to Jesus." Do you hear that cry in his heart? Do you hear how he's stripped down to just that one desire? "I want to know Christ." John went on, I just get this image of Jesus in my mind. It's so clear to me. And when the pain comes, I just focus on that image. So I asked him, "What does he look like?" And Lisa wanted to know the same thing. She asked, like, "Does he have a crown of thorns or a halo?" John said, "It's him suffering. That's the image I get. I think of how he suffered and what he suffered for. It was for us. He did that for us." And you know, John is right. God became present to us in Jesus Christ, even if that meant living life here on earth, this life that often hurts. God did that for us, to be close to us, to be real to us. God became present to us in Jesus Christ, even if that meant being embodied and feeling pain. God did that to share in our sufferings. Because more than anything else, God did not want us to be alone. John graciously gave me permission to share that story with you. What does he look like? I think of him suffering. There's something so beautiful in that. I don't know whether the suffering in your life is the kind that you have chosen, like taken up on behalf of others as a cross to bear. I don't know if the suffering in your life is the kind you did not and would not choose, but I do know this. When you're part of the body of Christ, you're part of a family. And when one member of the body suffers, we all suffer. When one member rejoices, we all rejoice. It's a sharing. Thank God it's a sharing. Will you pray with me? Jesus, we want to know you. We want to know you and the power of your resurrection. Lord, help us share in your sufferings by being right there with all of your people, our brothers and sisters in any time of need, knowing that you are right here with us in our deepest needs. We offer ourselves to you today for this holy sharing. Amen.